Hi, everybody. It's me, Amy, and I'm a little bit nervous, but more excited than nervous to be recording a post today. Back in May, I actually had refinished revamping my blog and my website and wrote a introduction post that was good, and I put together a lot of content. And then I don't know, some things came up and I chickened out, and I really didn't do such a good job of relaunching my website and making any kind of comeback to blogging and writing. And that's kind of what today's post is about. It's a new year, and I don't know, I've really felt God just calling and calling and telling me that this is something that I need to continue to pursue, even though I don't know why. I don't think I'm anything super special. But I think there's beauty in that I'm not anybody super special. But I hope that you have found your way here today, and I hope that you get encouragement from what we're going to talk about. And I hope we can be friends, even if it's just virtually. So, anyway, welcome and happy 2018. It is insane that I'm saying those numbers to you because I cannot believe it has been 18 years since I watched the ball drop on TV in the year 2000, and I was just on like pins and needles in seventh grade, wondering, is the world gonna shut down or the computer's gonna turn off? I didn't know, and I still don't really understand what they thought was going to happen. But anyway, it didn't happen, and here we are in 2018, and I am going to read you an audio version of this blog post. If you know me in real life, you know that I love my talk radio and my audiobooks. So if you're in that same boat with me, I'm going to be recording and prioritizing recording all the posts that I put up. So you can listen to them on the go, in your car, at the gym, wherever. And something you should know is that this is basically just me reading to you from the post, like a Teddy Ruxpin doll. But I have a hard time just reading, especially when it's something I've written. So I kind of tend to put asides in as I read the post out loud. So that's a little bonus you get for listening to the audio instead of reading. But reading is also really good for you. So, yeah, if that's how you like to do it, by all means. Anyway, enough introductory chit chat. Let's get started. Here is today's post. Today, for the first time in a long time, I've written. It's been months and months and months, and I want to talk to you about God's calling. But first, I simply cannot believe it's January. And not only that, we're already midway through the month. This time last year, I'd done a lot of praying and thinking about what I wanted to do, and even more about what God wanted me to do, about God's calling for me, where He'd gifted me, where I naturally felt at peace. And it all came back to writing and teaching. I spent a lot of time just pursuing what God had for me this time last year, and for most of 2017, kind of my word for the year was intentionality. And I really prioritized hearing from God. And that was a milestone in my faith. And yeah, and it was great. So I encourage you to do that. See, this is one of those asides. This was not in the post. Okay, back to the post. So, I set out to revamp the website, something Derek says I do far too often. And I did. The redo took way too long, and the launch got pushed back farther and farther. But I kept plugging away at it. The reason I wanted to redo the website was because I knew I no longer wanted to pursue photography and graphic design and be so scattered. I felt God was calling me to writing and teaching and to really focusing. Doing that in a biblical sense. So I wanted a fresh start. But then a funny thing happened. When the website was done, I felt this tightness and this pressure. So instead of reaping joy from writing and enjoying studying God's word, I concocted this heaviness that scared me away from writing on my new beautiful site. It was like things were so professional, I felt like I wasn't professional enough, and I didn't think I had anything good enough to say. So I found lots of other things to do and convinced myself I would know when the time was right. I'd have something perfect to say, and I would write it. In the meantime, I filled my schedule up with contracts and projects and all kinds of things, mostly home improvement kind of stuff, which was a huge blessing, but all that left me too tired to write or study. I knew God's calling wasn't to be stressed or not at peace, and I knew God's calling was to pursue writing and teaching, but for some reason I was avoiding it. Oh yeah, and kind of in the middle there was this terrible bout of anxiety that had nothing to do with writing or blogging, but it still halted me. If you deal with anxiety, you can probably relate. When I hit a patch like that, I convinced myself that a person struggling cannot contribute anything but more struggle. And that's a lie. It's a lie that I fall into often, but it's a lie that, nonetheless, that comes up in my life, and sometimes I believe it. So while I was kind of struggling through that, I thought, well, this is obviously not a good time to write or teach because who am I to say? Who am I to be teaching? Anyway, it's a lie. So if you're going through that, I would just encourage you to go to God's word and see the truth that he has for you there. As time went on, the message became more and more clear. This is what God was calling me to do. At least it's what he's calling me to do at this season in life. Not the struggling and the stress and the anxiety part, but the learning and the teaching and the studying. The soft voice that I had heard in my prayers has since become louder and louder. Messages have been coming my way that are prodding me to move forward, to be brave, and continue. Things I hear on the radio, things I read in the Bible, audiobooks I'm listening to, even strangers lately, and by lately I mean over the last 5 or 6 months, have all been unknowingly speaking into my soul. I can hear God in my prayers asking me if maybe I'll listen to these other things, because I've obviously been avoiding listening and obeying him. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe, possibly. This isn't the first season that I've done this. And perhaps the most nagging thing of all has been Abraham. Yes, I'm talking about Abraham from Genesis and from that song about him having many sons, and you move your right arm, and you move your left arm, and you nod your head. I'm not going to sing it for you. I'm not a good singer, and it would just get stuck in your head, and then you'd be mad at me. So anyway, I think you probably know the song I'm talking about. If you don't, you can Google it or YouTube it. Anyway, back to Abraham. I studied Abraham during the fall academic semester as part of a series we were doing at church on Wednesday nights. Ever since then, I can't get him out of my mind. I'll give you a brief synopsis of his journey, but you can read the real deal in Genesis chapters 12 to 25, which I know is a lot of chapters. He's a pretty important biblical figure. And now would be a perfect time for me to remind you that I am just a person. Shocker. So please know that I'm flawed and imperfect, but God and his word are perfect. I'll do my very best to relay what the Lord is teaching me, but I always encourage you to go to his word with your own eyes and check it out for yourself. God promises us that the Holy Spirit is our helper and our guide, so you don't need anyone to take you through the Bible or to teach it to you, because you have the perfect teacher in God himself through the Holy Spirit. Okay, announcement aside, back to Abraham. So he gets this amazing calling from God. He's going to father many nations and possess this great land, which is later referred to in Scripture as the Promised Land, because it is the land God promised. The problem is, he's old, and his wife is old. She's too old to have children. And there's already a lot of really scary people living in the land God tells him he's going to possess. Now, when I've read this account before, I've been pretty harsh on Abraham, thinking things like, oh, come on, man, God told you he'd give you this stuff, so just trust him. He's God. Or, ugh, there goes Abraham again, not following God's command. Or, what an idiot. Why are you pretending your wife is your sister again? Just trust God and what he's calling you to. You know that old saying, when you point a finger, you've got three more pointing back at you? Well, that very much describes me. And I was sheepish, to say the least, when my eyes were opened and I could hear God telling me to stop being so harsh on Abraham. Whose name, by the way, you'll notice in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews. My name, however, is not listed. Much like Nathaniel revealing David's hypocrisy after that whole thing with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, he goes in and tells him the story of the little lamb. My eyes were opened, and I realized I'd been doing the same thing as Abraham. Except God's calling to Abraham was bigger, crazier, and scarier. My struggle is very minute and very first world in comparison. When I've read Abraham's account before, like I said, I've been quick to criticize him for seeming to only obey partially, to let his own fear and understanding of the world trump what God had promised him. Abraham spent time going around the promised land. And by around, I mean the outskirts of the promised land. He hid from famine in Egypt. He tried to take God's promise into his own hand by creating a family through his wife's servant instead of his wife. And yeah, he really did that thing where he pretended his wife was his sister twice, which is kind of true because she was like a half-sister, but it was still a lie. And he really did that twice. Anyway, I think he was genuinely wanting to please God. But I also think fear and rationality got in the way. This was the result of him micromanaging God's plan. Or the result of him micromanaging God's plan was a lot of pain, heartbreak, and time lost. I've seen a lot of that when I've tried to shake off what God has called me to do, or when I've attempted to micromanage the creator of everything. Have you ever done that? Where you really, in your heart, know that you've heard something from God, and instead of just being able to wait it out and let him bring his promise to reality, you felt like you needed to micromanage the whole thing? Maybe it's just me. If the lesson I learned from Abraham stopped right there, it would be very sad. I'd ruin your week with my rain clouds, and we'd have no more joy in the Lord than when I started writing this post. Lucky for us, there's more. In the end, God was still faithful to Abraham. He kept all of his promises, despite all of the mistakes and all of the time that Abraham spent. And Abraham did, in hindsight, despite all of the harsh criticism that I give him, he did a pretty fine job. He was called to a really high and really scary and really seemingly crazy thing. And he did it. And he followed through and his faith came out stronger. By a miracle, Sarah, Abraham's wife, did have a child. The land was possessed by his descendants. And everything else God promised came into fruition. God kept his side of the deal, because his promises were never dependent on Abraham. Would these things have come to fruition sooner if Abraham had not skirted the issue and created a sticky mess out of his very understandable and very relatable human fear, rationality, and micromanaging? Maybe. Probably. But God was faithful. Even though things probably played out with more complications and maybe a little bit more struggle, God was faithful. Even though it took a while, God was faithful. Even though Abraham created some drama for himself, God was faithful. The real lesson here to me is that God will be faithful. He'll walk us through to the places he promises, to our calling, to the things he's confirmed in us. But we might make the journey a little harder on ourselves. That said, I don't think God ever wastes a moment. even a moment of our disobedience. He can redeem those moments to grow our faith, to reconcile our belief, and prepare us to trust him more and more. Sometimes our hearts need to learn how good God is from the school of hard knocks. This seems to be true for Abraham too. By the end of all this skirting the issue, he comes into a place of amazing faith and a closeness with God that I don't know he would have had if he had just immediately followed through on what God had wanted. If he had immediately charged the promised land, he bided his time and there were mistakes along the way. And I think his faith came out stronger for it. God uses even these moments of maybe are skirting the issue or avoiding his voice. And if we turn those moments back over to him, he's going to redeem them and we're going to be rewarded with a deeper relationship. So I'm taking heart this newish year. I've spent months and months circling God's calling to me. But I've remembered that he's faithful. Even though it might be trickier, stickier, and messier now that I've roamed around and tried to avoid his voice. If you didn't know, I'm now 30 weeks pregnant, and yes, I think this would have been easier to do pre-pregnancy or earlier in pregnancy when I wasn't starting to sweat over whether my construction zone of a home is ready or safe to welcome a baby. But that's a different story. God is faithful. He's telling me to write, so I'm going to try and do that. I don't know where it'll lead, who's going to read it, or why he's so insistent, but I do know that it's time to obey. I can guarantee my obedience will continue to be imperfect, but I'll do my humanly best, and I'm going to trust him to redeem the moments that I'm weak and that I fail. What about you? Has God been calling you to something? Are you trying to hear his voice? Maybe you're an obedience rock star, and you're carrying out his job for you. And if that's you, then I would love it if you got in touch with me via email, and we could chat about what you're doing and how you're so awesome. Anyway, wherever you are, remember that God is faithful. Wherever you are, how will you pray for obedience and intentionality today to trust in God more and trust in the path he has set before you? That's the end of this post, but I have a special announcement. Remember how I told you back in May I had launched the site kind of unsuccessfully. Anyway, something that I had created back at that time is a 3-day Bible reading kickstart. This is the time of year when many of us set new goals for Bible reading. And if you're falling into that category, I would love for you to sign up for the 3-day Bible reading kickstart. It's totally free and it's designed to get you excited about God's word. It'll come straight to your email inbox. It's designed so you can walk through it by yourself or discuss it with a friend, a spouse, a boyfriend, mentor, whoever you like. There's some reading devotionals that I've written that aren't going to appear anywhere else. They're exclusive to the Kickstart. There's some Bible reading and then some discussion questions. And if you don't go through it with a friend, then I would encourage you to journal or take down a few notes. But this is something that's really good if you're wanting to pick your Bible back up or find that your Bible is chronically collecting dust on your nightstand. I hope you'll give this a try and see that God's Word is super exciting and fun to study. It's something that I'm passionate about and I geek out over. So anyway, I hope you'll enjoy that. And I hope you'll come back to the blog. Like I said, I've got more things actually scheduled and more things actually written. So this is not going to be another false start. I'm a little bit more organized, but we will see where the future takes us. And I'm scared to hit publish on this because I'm scared that I will take a hiatus again for months and months. So no promises, but with God's grace, we'll be back to writing. And I'm so glad you're here. And I hope we can be friends, even if it's just virtually. Have a great day.